Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and we have back, although it's been a while, been a year or so, Gabe Holmstrom from the Downtown Little Rock Partnership. Gabe, thank you for making that long walk right around the corner from your office. And on a windy morning as we tape this, but a lot going on downtown. And, you know, not all downtowns across America can say that. So I'm glad we've got plenty to talk about.
Absolutely, Rex. No, it's great to be back on the show, on the podcast here. And, yes, I definitely appreciate that. A long, arduous 2.5 minute walk from my office. So, no, it's great to be here. But you're absolutely right. There's plenty of challenges, but there's plenty of bright spots as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can point to. And, you know, what I know is that 6 months from today, things are going to look a lot different. They're going to feel a lot different. A year, it's going to be a different change. And then, you know, another 18 months from now, even more. So there's just a lot of these things that are going on that we're going to see these pops basically every 6 months for, you know, for the coming, the foreseeable future.
Now, that's exciting. Let's go back to where we were a year ago. We talk about the development of the master plan. That's, I think, what we base pretty much the whole thing on. And I want to quote from that, same quote I used in my column recently. Little Rock is at a crossroads. For the past 25 years, its downtown has grown and evolved, bringing new housing, retail, entertainment, and cultural attractions to the district. And while revitalization continued after the 2008 Great Recession, it has done so at a slower pace than its peers. Without a plan for changing that in the future, it is a very real possibility that Little Rock and all of Central Arkansas will slide in a negative direction, close quote. First, I guess for those that weren't listening last year, hadn't been paying attention, again, quick primer, what is the master plan? Why was it needed?
So a master plan is basically a guide. That sets out a series of priorities for the city to focus on in conjunction with the private sector. So bringing the different facets of the public sector together with the private sector, and then how do we go about accomplishing some of these things? We have not had a downtown master plan for downtown Little Rock in the modern era. So this was very important, something we worked a lot with the city. We used the Recovery Act dollars to pay for this plan. We were able to hire a world-renowned planning firm in Sasaki. They came here. They spent almost a year doing a whole series of public meetings, focus groups, surveys, asking the public what they wanted to see in their downtown. What are the challenges? What do they want to see? What are the things that when they go to other cities, they have access to? And they took all that information and then they developed that into 41 priorities. So then that leads us into the implementation. So you have, and we have this 230-page book.
Oh, it's massive, yeah.
Was paid for, the printing was paid for by our friends at Entergy. And, but now we have this book, and then you can really take that and say, okay, well, here's the things we can do, you know, here's what we need to do immediately. Here's where we need to start working on for 6 months, a year down the road. And these are longer term projects, but there's a whole series of things in there. Some of them have no cost. Some of them are low cost. And then some of them do have some cost and substantial cost to them. But now that we have the plan, we have something to point to. And then we as a community need to decide which one of these we're going to start making a reality.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've got a number of years on you, but you're no spring chicken either. But you and I both been around for quite a while. And we've both had government careers in government and politics, economic development. And the old saying about the expensive plan that sits on a shelf is really true. I mean, you and I have seen a lot of expensive plans in our careers that sit on the shelf. How do we make sure that doesn't happen in downtown Little Rock?
Well, and I think that's been the focus of this. We don't want it to sit on the shelf. Later on today, I'm going to be meeting with the implementation committee of the master plan.
Right.
And, you know, everything takes time. There's a lot of dynamics, but we're getting the group together, and we're really going to go over these list of no and low-cost items. So, you know, one of the things that we're all very aware of here in Little Rock is we have all these surface parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them are owned by the city. Some of them may be owned by the county or the state, but the city has vacant land. So that's buildable land. One of the suggestions that came from the master plan is that is an ideal place to start for creating this new infill development. You know, one of the big overarching goals of the master plan was to double the downtown population by 2035.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to that because when you took Little Rock and you benchmarked Little Rock against some of our peer cities like Chattanooga, like Raleigh, North Carolina, like Greensboro, like Greenville, you know, they have a lot more density in their downtown.
Right.
So
right.
How do we, you know, I guess why do we want that? And then how do we get there? Why do we want that is because you hear a lot of talk about, well, we need a grocery store in the central business district. Grocery stores and retails, they're going to follow rooftops. They're going to follow the people that
exactly.
live down there. So we have about 4,300 people.
They've got to have a surrounding customer base.
Absolutely. You know, they want to see about 10,000 people within a mile radius of their location.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got about 4,300 people that live in the study area in downtown, which was about a 2.5 mile square mile area. And so the focus of this is if we get the people living down here, then that's going to help bring those other amenities. They're going to show up to chase those people. Then, you know, part of this study was also, well, is there a desire? Is there a need for more housing? And what we found is that residential occupancy in downtown is upwards of 97%. So there is a demand,
mm-hmm.
But it's not being met because things aren't being built. Why aren't things being built? Well, when you look at things like the increased cost of construction, the higher interest rates, the cost of land, and then, quite frankly, the lack of incentives that the city and really the state have to go to the development community to bring some of these projects here, all of those things combined, a project or a lot of projects just don't pencil out. So that was where Sasaki came up with the concept of using city-owned land where you set the parameters for the developers on saying, you know, you have to have X number of housing units, X amount of street-facing retail or whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
and then let the developers respond to that, and they can give them the land, which in essence, you know, could reduce the cost of the project
right.
by 10, 15, 18%.
Mm-hmm. Interesting concept. Now, anything as big as revitalizing a downtown obviously has to be a public-private partnership. And we'll talk about private dollars in a minute, but let's go back to public dollars. And I'm going to play devil's advocate with you a second. The city really hung a lot of what would be done on the public side on a sales tax proposal that went down in flames. Is there a plan B?
Well,
to get the government money
for
those projects.
And I think that's why we're starting the conversation with the no or low cost items.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you see, right, I brought with me a list in case this topic came up. And, you know, of those 41 items that are outlined in the master plan, about 20 of them are these no or low cost items.
Decisions made in Washington affect folks in Arkansas. I'm Alex Thomas, the Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm keeping a close eye on what happens in the nation's capital and how decisions and decision makers impact our state. Take, for instance, the next farm bill. We're connecting you with the policymakers drafting this legislation, as well as the Arkansas farmers vital to this state's economy. I know how much these decisions matter to everyday Arkansans, which is why I'm here in Washington, making sure you stay informed. This kind of coverage is only possible through your support. So consider subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADG now.
Now, again, it's something, some of these are simple, like getting rid of the, well, they're simple in theory. They're simple to say.
It's more a question of priorities and focus than it is of money, is what you're saying.
Well, but there's money.
Focus,
like,
okay.
For example, getting rid of some of the one-way streets or all of the one-way streets. It is human nature to be resistant to change. So there's a lot of conversations that are going to have to go into that. But there's also the reality of re-signage, moving streetlights, restriping, and things that are going to go into if you do change those streets back to two-way from one-way. You know, it's one of those funny things where I'm sure the same thing happens to you. You spend a lot of time down here. You're down here every day. And if you have to go from one part of downtown to another, you got to stop and think, okay, what is the best way for me to get there? And then where's that one-way street again? Do we need all these? And I think there's a lot of cities are going away from the one-way streets, and I think that's something that we need to take a hard look at.
Yeah. All right, that's on the public side. I mentioned the private side. A lot of people, when you throw out the term economic development, their mind really goes to industrial development. And they're thinking about attracting the big plant that's suddenly going to bring 600 jobs to town. And we both know the Port of Little Rock's doing a wonderful job.
Amazing.
Our friend Brian Day was one of my guests on this show just recently, and need that. The kind of development you're doing is different. It's attracting developers to build residential, as you said, bringing in retail, bringing offices back to downtown. Talk a little bit about how you sell this neighborhood to attract private capital back here.
Well, I think that's part of this conversation that is occurring with the city, that's occurring with the state, is what are these tools in the toolbox that we don't have? How do we go about creating those? And then how do we create the business-friendly or the development-friendly climate to bring those developers here?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Des Moines, Iowa, which was another one of our benchmark cities.
Gotcha.
Back in the fall, and I met with a developer there. It's basically their version of Moses Tucker in Des Moines. And, in talking with the gentleman, you know, he was telling me about a project that he had just closed in downtown Des Moines, and there were 13 different funding sources.
Wow.
So
yeah,
that which included the county, which included the state and the city.
Very
the local,
complex project.
That's right. But they saw a value as a community in bringing the residential housing developments to their downtown. They've seen the past success. You know, 15 years ago, they decided to make that a focus where they invested in that and they made that a priority. And now they're seeing the fruits of that, but they're still continuing to do more. They have high vacancy rates or high occupancy rates, so there's still this demand for more housing. The more people you have living there, the more people it puts on the street. Then it brings the retail. They're patronizing the restaurants and the entertainment facilities. So those are the kind of things where the city or the municipality, the government, has to play a role in creating this toolkit to bring the development community here. Because quite frankly, these regional and national developers, when they're looking for their next project and they're looking for different places they can go, if they can get a better deal in Mississippi than they can in Arkansas, they're going to go to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like it's not a question of should we do it. It's really, at this point, we have to do it if we want to remain competitive
right.
as a state. And these are issues that are not just facing Little Rock. They're facing the other communities across the state, West Memphis, Jonesboro, Texarkana, El Dorado, and then Northwest Arkansas. They have a different set of challenges, but it's the dynamic is still real. They need to be able to make the deal pencil and create affordable housing.
Yeah, yeah. You and I both know that everybody considers himself or herself an expert on social media, and we both see the foolishness down there that downtown's dying, not safe, blah, blah, blah. You do it for a living. I work right around the corner from you downtown, and as I've pointed out in recent columns, I sit here where we're taping the Democrat Gazette building at the corner of Capitol and Scott. I'm on the third floor. I look toward Maine, and I've been sitting here watching the Boyle Building being redone, the Little Rock Tech Park being expanded, construction fencing up, two major projects on two different sides of that corner of Capitol and Maine. And I think to myself, that's actually pretty exciting when so many downtowns are struggling across America right now. I mean, I'm looking at two big projects just from my office window.
That's right. And the if you take a step back and think about the progression of downtown and of the city over not just a couple years, but over 5, 10, 20 years, it's really this, you know, these things take time,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, I think it was 12 years ago that Bruno's moved in to the 300 block of Maine. Now the 300 block of Maine has
seven restaurants right? on that one block.
So then the conversation changed from, well, how do we save Main Street? Is like, well, then, you know, now, once the Boyle, soon to be renamed the Brooks Building, is completed, there's only going to be two large buildings left to renovate on Main Street. So the Donaghy and the M.M. Cone.
And Cone, yeah.
And I feel like the proximity of the M.M. Cone to the Brooks Building, that will come rather quickly. But then, you know, Donaghy is the last one there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, but it is exciting to watch. And then I come out the front door. Again, I've written this recently, as you know, but just trying to show people around the state there's actually a lot going on. And instead of taking a left to those projects, I immediately take a right. The historic Christ Episcopal Church is about to have a redo, Central Arkansas Water System. Congratulations on getting them to keep all those jobs downtown, which
Absolutely.
Was a big move. They're about to do a redo. And then possibly major construction where the Transit Center is going that way.
And then a few more blocks to the south, you have the old VA hospital, which is 420,000 square feet that 200 apartment units are going to mm-hmm. be opening up there, I think later this month, where the developer out of Georgia, he saw an opportunity there. They've got an infinity pool. They've got a cold plunge and saunas, and it's a pickleball court inside. Like he's made that an amenity-rich property, and that's going to be exciting to just add that many more people to basically Soma. And then it's also exciting to know that once he gets that finished, he's moving right on to the AT&T building.
Yeah, knew he owned that.
That's
so
right.
He is going to move forward, as your understanding with that building.
Absolutely.
Man.
Yeah, they've
That's
already
exciting.
Been doing demo in there, and
mm-hmm.
they're moving forward.
That is exciting to hear. And I'll throw out, since you mentioned it, because his street dead ends, but it backs right up to that VA project. My youngest son is a downtown resident. You'll like this. Is getting married in August. And he is already building a new house there in Petaway with his wife. And it is one of three on that one block that's going up right now.
That's amazing.
And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah,
well,
three on that one block going up at the same time.
Yeah.
New houses, downtown Little Rock.
Everyone loves a good place to eat, and few things are more discouraging than spending good money on a bad meal. I'm Eric Harrison, and I write for the Style section at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Knowing where to go, what to try, and how much you'll shell out go a long way toward making sure readers find the experience they are looking for rather than paying for big disappointment. Help us create a marketplace where consumers can rely on reviews and make informed choices by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADGnow.
That's it. And people who haven't been to Petaway and haven't seen the infill that's occurring there, they're amazed every time. I mean, we were shooting video for our upcoming annual meeting, and I took somebody over to the new brewery over there, Moody Brews, and he's like, well, I had no idea this was here. And this is, you know, this is somebody who lives by Central High.
Yeah.
And so... You know, it's and he drinks beer, so mm-hmm. he should know where that is, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just getting the more people who can see it. Again, we had a great Mardi Gras down in Soma this weekend, where you had thousands of people. That's the most packed I've ever seen.
Great.
That Mardi Gras event, mm-hmm. But those people all stayed and they saw it and they enjoyed being down there. So I know I think it's the future is really bright.
Yeah, mention some other things again, because I just want people to know there are big things going on. The Central Arkansas Library System right now spending about $30 million to totally redo the main branch. That's huge for the River Market District.
That's going to be unbelievable. And then the timing of that is amazing. Kind of going back to what I was talking about, like every few months we're going to have a new – you know, a new addition, a new improvement in downtown. I think the city's working on and making an announcement.
Plan to do remarket hall.
Market hall, uh-huh. Which that's long needed. And then the planners that we worked with on the master plan, as well as have joined forces with the folks who designed the Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts, then they're working on a plan for the green space as a result of the 30 Crossing project.
Mm-hmm.
And Studio Gang, that's who did AMFA. They're also working on the addition for the Clinton Presidential Center.
And I was going to get to that, because that is huge. I know there's a lot of money. Stephanie, don't get mad at me for getting ahead of things. I know there's a lot of money still to be raised. But as I pointed out in my column, Gabe, regardless of where your politics are, Hillary Clinton is one of the most famous women in American history.
Absolutely.
And having a wing devoted to her will bring thousands of additional visitors to downtown Little Rock every year once that is completed.
That's absolutely right. And it's just like people that may not drink have to appreciate the tax revenue that the bars and restaurants bring into the community. They are an attraction for people. So I think that's going to be an amazing asset and amenity that we want people to continue to come see the Clinton Presidential Center, see the new Hillary Wing. I couldn't agree more.
And a very recent announcement while we're there that really I don't think got the media attention it deserved, but that was the fact that the Clinton Foundation is sponsoring, buying the Heifer headquarters, so that stabilizes, answers the questions on that campus, expanding the Clinton School, which is huge. So that removes one of your question marks over in the East Village also now. What's the future of Heifer?
Absolutely. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they utilize that space. I know they want to continue to grow that school and their presence, and now they've got the real estate to do so. And then we got Art Space.
Yeah, Wingate Art Space, which is going to bring in dozens of artists. And I have no doubt once you bring in dozens of artists and additional galleries, then additional bars, restaurants, retailers will follow down there.
Well, and you already have. I mean, that kind of flip-flop there with Southern Tail.
That's true.
Have you been in that space?
I have. I actually toured the space before they opened it.
That's an amazing space. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think they opened in the summer, but they're about to get to take advantage of this Arkansas spring. It's a dog-friendly place, so I think. Yeah, that's a real exciting amenity for our downtown.
Yeah. So And I know, again, every downtown in America in a post-pandemic world is working to fill back up office buildings in downtown areas. I mean, that's not just us. It's all over the country. But we see an increasing move to get back in the office finally. I mean, that's speeding up everywhere. So, again, getting office space, it's fun to talk about restaurants and museums and retail, but getting office space full is important too. It has been fun as I look out that window again to see local ownership now of the historic Worthen Building that's now 200 West, and they're really promoting a lot of life there. New ownership in recent years of the Regents Tower by a New York group that's investing money. So are you seeing a trend that we're getting more worker bees, if you will, downtown again?
Yeah, I think you brought up the 200 West building.
Yeah.
You know, that if you haven't had the opportunity to go see the fourth floor outdoor terrace there, that is worth taking a look at. But just towards the end of the year, they announced a 42,000 square foot lease where they're going to be bringing – Now that's an amazing amount of space.
Oh, it's huge.
You know, a couple hundred people downtown to work here. And again, that helps with the people. All those people got to go eat lunch. They may want to go somewhere after work. So that just helps just having the people here in the Central Business District. You know, we're a slow growing back because, you know, really downtown Little Rock, we had kind of a 1-2 punch because we had COVID, and at the same time, is when we did the transformation with the state.
We had state office buildings leaving because they had to fill one up down in Riverdale.
That's it.
Yeah.
So there was about 1,500 state employees left downtown during COVID, and we still haven't fully recovered from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's coming along. You mentioned these 6-month increments. So just kind of, and I know some of this is speculative, but kind of walk me through in the few minutes we have remaining of kind of where you see downtown going in the next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I think that obviously we put, 200 people working at the intersection of Capitol and Main for the first time in 20 years. Mm-hmm. That impact is going to be seen and felt immediately. So really, I think they're going to be starting the move-in process in April. So again, 6 months from now, all those people are going to have their routines, and we're going to see the impact of that.
You're telling me it's going to be harder to get into my favorite restaurants down here on Main Street for lunch.
That's exactly what I'm telling you, but that's going to be an opportunity for.
Yeah, I already have a hard time finding a seat at Samantha's.
But so I think, 6 months is going to change things. We have the green space. The city's going to have to finalize what the plan is going to be, see what the cost of that's going to be, and then go make that happen. We're fortunate, very fortunate to have the state involved and very interested in the success of that project. We have the trail system out at Maumelle Park. And then we have the Arkansas River Trail. So being able to connect what's happening out there to what's happening in downtown, there's a great desire to do that. So I think then you have, like you said, a year from now, again, the library will be open. I mean, imagine us going to meet for coffee on the open air terrace of the Central Arkansas Library, right in the middle of the River Market District.
Yeah.
And then, depending on how long it takes to get the market hall renovated and see what improvements they're going to do to the amphitheater, getting regular acts back in there and having the amenities for those acts and make that a viable space. You talk to any of the restaurant and business owners down there, when there's a show there, everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are all things to look at, but seeing Petaway being filled in, having those 200 units of the old VA, people living there, again, that's going to add more people. Not all of those folks are going to walk down to Soma, but some of them will.
Yeah. Well, I go back again because, as I said, I'm an old dog, but I so want to see downtown thrive, and I go back to just being thrilled. It wasn't on any advice from me. It was him looking around and seeing where he wanted to live on my son, who is 28 years old, deciding that Petaway was where he would build his first home.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have dreamed of that just a few years ago. Oh. A 20-something saying this is the cool place to be
now. That's right. But you start asking him why, and I would have to bet that the fact that he can go walk and get a cup of coffee or walk and go get a locally brewed beer plays into that decision.
Yep, absolutely it is. That it's easy to walk around. He's going to be an attorney at the Friday Elgin Clark firm, so he's going to work downtown. His wife works at the Little Rock Chamber, yeah. So it was a perfect choice. But that gives me a lot of hope, that kind of thing,
yeah,
for the future of the neighborhood. Well, Gabe, thanks for all you're doing. We get you. There's so much going on. We'll get you back on soon again.
Good. No, yeah. Always happy to do it. Always good to be here, and always good to catch up.
Yeah. No, you got an annual meeting coming up.
That's
and,
right.
A lot of these, I mean, unless I'm being paid to speak, you know, long chamber events around the state, and all, I don't go to anymore. But I will say this for Gabe. He makes his annual meeting fast and fun. That's what you like to be known for, right?
That's it.
So I go. I'll be there.
Hey, well, it's good to have. I say anybody can throw a boring chicken lunch. So
yeah,
we can try to keep it moving and get everybody out of there at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, still get the information out you need to get out, but
that's
you do
right.
It fast and fun.
That's
Food's
it.
Good. All right. I'll see you there.
Okay. Thank you, Rex.
Gabe Holmstrom of the Downtown Little Rock Partnership. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.